Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen. Great show lined up for you. Hey, special announcement. Would you believe it? This marks the 777th show for Real Money Radio, hosted by myself right here, David Holland. Thank you for being with me. I'm a little excited about that. It's been a lot of work, but we appreciate your continued listener and listenership. So let's dive right in with a very, very timely topic. And it's kind of cool because I just did a presentation last week, a financial seminar, and I had one of the people ask me about this very subject. So awfully convenient. We have Patricia Aberdeen on the line with us. She is a social forecaster, author, speaker. Listen to this background. Good grief. You're going to love this, ladies and gentlemen. She's one of the world's leading social forecasters. We'll ask her more about what that means in just a minute. Co-author of the number one New York Times bestseller, Megatrends 2000, and co-authored with her ex-husband. And she is a world-renowned speaker, author of another book, Conscious Money, which we'll also talk about. For 25 years, Patricia's lectured in North America, South America, Europe, Asia, Australia, hundreds of speeches. She has worked with companies all over the planet. She's affected millions of people with her work. So we're really excited to have her on. And this is cool. She was named one of the top 100 thought leaders in trustworthy business by Trust Across America. She has just been all over the place. So I'm excited, you can tell. Patricia, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, David, and thanks for that generous introduction. However, I must say, I have not done hosted 777 radio shows. So hats off to you.
Well, thank you. Listen, I'm excited about it because it's, you know, they say, you know, you don't trade your journey for anything, right? I mean, it's been a lot of work, but worth it. And we're very pleased to have people listen to the program. And, you know, after doing all the shows, we built up a little bit of a good reputation with the publicists. And so that lets us get great guests like you, Patricia. So right back at you.
I'm delighted to be with you, David.
Well, listen, let's get to our topic. And I also want to compliment Patricia and her publicist. They sent over both copies of the books. I just love that when somebody sends me the books, I can hold them in my hands and I could talk with you about them. So we've got two main books we're going to talk a little bit about, but which one you want to start with, The Conscious Money or Megatrends?
Oh, let's start with Conscious Money.
Okay.
Because the larger context of them both.
Well, listen, it's living, creating, and investing with your values for a sustainable new prosperity. So give us the 50,000-foot viewpoint here, and we'll dig into the details. Already forewarned Patricia, I have a lot of questions for her. So, but give us the overview of what we're trying to do and where you're coming from with this.
Well, David, you know, I think conscious money, it may sound esoteric or challenging or complicated, but it's really very simple. It's about having a positive, life-affirming relationship with your money, a relationship that benefits yourself, benefits your family and other people, and benefits the planet at large, too. So all around, positive all around.
Well, you know, the thing that strikes me about that, and because that's just so intuitive, and that's the way it should be,
yes.
And the fact
yes.
that we have to talk about it as if it's, you know, and again, I'm not taking away anything what you're doing, Patricia, but the fact that we have to talk about it like it's something special, and it's
yep.
that's how far we've gone, maybe perhaps astray. And, you know, I read, I of course, as you know, being a financial planner, I have to read all this stuff. A lot of it's gobbledygook about what this CEO is doing and what that CEO is doing. And this one's foregoing their salary so they can get, you know, $50 billion in stock options. And, you know, we read all these things and we go, yeah, we really did take that wrong turn in Albuquerque. I need to back up and figure out what happened. So that is the first remarkable thing about this whole area that you think, well, why wouldn't things be that way?
Oh, I can give you a really quick answer to that. And it is the question of values, because from my perspective, you create that positive life-affirming relationship that we just talked about when you do two things, when you honor your values and when you honor sound financial principles. So where did we go astray? Conventional financial wisdom will tell you, even the most thoughtful money gurus will tell you, and I'm thinking about one, she's female and she's as famous as can be, will tell you that values have no role to play in your financial life. They'll tell you it's all about you. You got to take care of you. You got to take care of number one. Up to a point, you do. But when you just go completely down that line, you're right up there with the bad guys on Wall Street, and you don't want that. It's not fulfilling. It's not satisfying. It doesn't give you the peace that lets you sleep at night. So positive life-affirming values, but you're still honoring those sound financial principles.
Yeah, and there's an adage to that. You know, the ends don't necessarily justify the means, right? I mean, you know, I read these stories, Patricia, and I go, you know, how did we get here? And there's this, I think the thing that baffles me a little bit is there's this incredible disconnect. Yep. And, you know, because if you follow the everything, you know, things to its kind of their logical conclusion, it becomes devoid of value at all. And it becomes, you know, how cheaply can we pay people? How much can we return value to the shareholder? And litigation and doing bad things is just a line item on the income statement. And if it costs less to have litigation than it does to, you know, the profit we're going to get from whatever it is, then if all that is the numbers, and I'm speaking as a CPA now who's audited companies, you know, if all that matters is the numbers, then where really are we going?
That's an excellent point. And I think that there's another myth in there, in what you just brought up, which is, unfortunately, one that many, I don't want to say ordinary investors, there's the whole advertisement that says you don't want to be an ordinary investor. Let's just say day-to-day investors,
sure,
like you and I, that we can get caught up in this myth, which is that if you want to earn a good retirement income, if you want to build your retirement account when you're younger and then draw from it when you're my age and older, you gotta be willing to, you know, get down and dirty. And you talk about the finances of it. Well, I'm gonna give you some numbers when we get to it later in the interview that indicate that, you know what, the nice, so just to turn it into a phrase, nice guys really do finish first in the business world. And yet we're walking around with the stereotypes of it's the down and dirty companies that really make money. Oh, yeah, this quarter maybe.
Yes.
Hey, maybe a year. But 10 years, 15 years, no, the data does not support that at all.
Yeah, well, you know, I run my own company, Patricia, and I see these CEO stereotypes, and I go, you know, there's an expectation from society for me to be that way or work that way or even from employees. I'm sorry, I'm not doing it that way. I'm not going to be that stuffy guy in the corner, or that it, you know, it's only the bottom line. I'm just not doing it. You know, let's go back to, I pulled you down quickly into some of the details. I want to go back to the, you know, kind of the first steps with Conscious Money, the book. And the first step, I know that from kind of flipping through the book, the first step is you've got to start with a self-reflection. You've got to start with knowing your own values, right?
Absolutely. And when I do workshops on Conscious Money, where we, you know, without sharing personal data, where we can apply this concept to people and their financial choices, the first thing I do with them is pass out a list of values, and we do a values assessment exercise. What are the values that really matter most to you? And people find this really satisfying, because most of us don't take time to think about that. And in fact, a lot of people are surprised. They'll say, wow, I never knew my top value was love or freedom or justice or whatever it was. And, you know, your values, I think they can be transcendent, kind of spiritual values like love, justice, courage, that kind of thing. But they can also be practical values. And I always share with people that when I first did a values assessment many decades ago, I was surprised to find out that my top value was resilience. And I tell you, that's a wonderful value to have as an investor, because you know, they say rule number one is don't lose money. Well, sorry, probably if you invest at all, you're going to lose some money along the way. You got to pick yourself up off the floor and keep going and keep learning to trust yourself. And resilience is a terrific value. Now, if sustainability is a top value for you, you're going to make money choices in terms of your spending and in terms of your investing that are you know, earth-friendly, sustainable. What kind of companies really practice this? Not greenwashing, but who really practices it? That's the question you're going to ask your financial advisor.
Well put. Patricia Aberdeen, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to grab a quick break. We'll come back. Website, patriciaaberdeen.com, and the book, Conscious Money, Living, Creating, and Investing with Your Values for a Sustainable New Prosperity. Stay right there.
Newsflash. All financial advisors are not created equal. You need to find one who has a greater education with advanced degrees and professional certifications. One with multiple licenses offering a wide range of solutions. One who's independent and discloses his fee structure, like independent advisor David Holland. David is a CPA, certified financial planner, personal financial specialist, and chartered financial consultant. With 24 years financial experience, David offers a wide range of personalized solutions and discloses all fees in writing. Call Holland Financial for a one-on-one meeting with David at 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Patricia Aberdeen on the line with me. And listen, when you go to our website, it's Patricia, and it's A-B-U-R-D-E-N-E.com. The book, Conscious Money, Living, Creating, and Investing with Your Values for a Sustainable New Prosperity. And listen, Patricia, there's so much we can get to. Once we've gotten a kind of a sense for our values and what's important to us and really that self-reflection we spoke about before the break, how do we recognize, how do we do some matchmaking here? How do we recognize the businesses that, and identify the businesses and then research them and figure out if they're who we want to be investing in that embrace the same values that you do?
Yeah, David, that's terrific question. And in fact, that's step two.
What do you know?
as we go through life, we're going to create relationships with companies, whether it's the companies you invest in or the grocery store where you shop or the dry cleaner or car repair place. And you want to choose companies as much as possible. Now, sometimes it gets hard. You want to choose companies whose values reflect your own values. So you pay attention to those companies. You watch for their reputation. Do they have a reputation of treating their employees well? If you look at the top, one of my favorite things every year is when Fortune comes out with its 100 best companies to work for. Great companies, great benefits, all that. But what most people don't realize is that studies have shown that the public firms on that list, there are a lot of private firms too, but that the public firms on that company outperform the S&P 500 by a factor of 6. So we know, the data shows, that companies that treat their people well do well financially too. Employee engagement creates profit. There are other amazing studies that show that. So what make relationships, choose carefully, make your companies that you work with be as much as possible reflect your values. Now, I know that's hard because I got to confess to you that one of the companies that I love to hate is Comcast. I do not like that company. I am a Comcast subscriber only because I have to be. And the first chance I get to do it another way, I will. But I just want to say that, to say it's not going to be perfect. You probably have to do business with some companies that you're not that crazy about. But as much as possible, pick the good companies, especially your bank. You know, a lot of people are mad at the big banks. And they've shifted their money out, and they have their money in small credit unions. Mm-hmm. That is a conscious money move, a classic.
Smart
money move.
Well, I you know, in terms of Comcast, you know, you could always get some of those little tree climbing shoes and grab an antenna and run up to the top of a tree by your house.
Is that what I need to do?
You know, when I was a kid, my dad did that. It's pretty funny.
Wow.
He actually, but and then to your point, you know, I bank with I've got lots of choices. I bank with a community bank. I just, you know, I like that. That appeals to me. But you know, the trick and the challenge, not to be too much of a devil's advocate here, Patricia, the challenge, again, this is put my financial planner hat back on, is, you know, the challenge is finding enough of these companies. And I like the, you've just given me one of the answers, which is, you know, to look at the top 100 companies in terms of employee satisfaction. And that's definitely an angle we can take. And because the other thing I was wondering in my mind is, well, once you find them, are there enough of them to get, of course, again, from a strictly logic diversification, are there enough of them to get enough diversification so that we're not getting too much exposure? I don't really like to have more than 1% or so of a portfolio be comprised or represented by one company. So we've got to find a lot of these companies. One way to do that, I suppose, is look at some of the socially responsible investing funds.
Well, you can certainly do that. You can also, you know, people's reputations and this kind and the kind of companies that you're going to make relationships with, it's a mix of the local, you know, local companies.
Okay.
On the local side, you want to ask your neighbors, you know, is this a good dry cleaner? Is this a
good, so you're not just talking about investing, you're talking about
both.
Also just doing business with people.
Yep.
Okay.
Both.
All right.
Both. But when it comes to investing, oh gosh, there are all kinds of ways to screen. Screen is a socially responsible investing term. Socially responsible mutual funds have experts doing this. And you can get great ideas. I always look at what are their top holdings and compare it to mine. In many cases, that's a fabulous way of doing it. Look at the Fortune 500, as I said, the Fortune 100 best companies to work for. Great place for ideas. And there's a study that came out in a book called Firms of Endearment that looked at 28 companies that have positive relationships with the people who work for them. And when we start talking about positive relationships with employees, we're moving to the notion of stakeholder capitalism versus shareholder capitalism.
Right,
we started today talking about conscious money, but I'm also very big on conscious capitalism. So this book called Firms of Endearment studied 28 companies. They included names that we all know, large. They tend to be large cap focused. I have to get my diversity in small and mid caps through an ETF or a mutual fund. But I like individual stocks. I like to study the company. So anyhow, these 28 companies included places like Costco, Southwest Airlines, Whole Foods, Google, companies that are just known for their strong relationships with employees, yes, but also with other stakeholders, customers. You want a company that has great relationships with customers. Well, Comcast is out in that regard. I heard they're not so great to their employees either, but I can tell you they're not very nice to their customers. But anyhow, off topic. I got it off topic. My dislike of Comcast just hijacked me there. But we're talking about good companies here.
I hear you.
Costco, Johnson & Johnson, Google, Whole Foods, Cisco. Boy, Cisco's come up in the eyes of Wall Street late. Anyhow, over a 10-year period, these good companies outperformed the S&P 500 by a factor of 11. In these 28 great companies were up 1,100% over a 10-year period. The S&P 500 up 100%. So these are the kinds of, this is the kind of data that shows us, and socially responsible investing is great, but I like to think in terms of the stakeholder model. And are you good to your suppliers? Are you good to your community? That means that you're looking at business as a holistic endeavor, and you're not just focused on the shareholder or the investor. And guess what? This data shows that when you take this holistic approach, who do you please? The investor. Because, I mean, this is what John Mackey, the CEO of Whole Foods, calls the paradox of profit. And in my words, when you look at the business as a whole, you can become a more profitable business. And beat the traditional capitalists at their own game, making money.
Well, there it is. And this is why that same John Mackey called Patricia Aberdeen's book, Conscious Money, a simple, brilliant framework for achieving sustainable financial results while espousing the highest ideals. Read it, get it, inspired, and prosper. There you are, Patricia. I think that's well put. We're going to grab another quick break. We'll be right back with Patricia Aberdeen. Stay right there.
Retirement planning doesn't have to be hard, complicated, or stressful. It also doesn't have to be done in a hurry or with sales pressure. Since starting Holland Financial in 1997, it has been David Holland's mission to help individuals, couples, and families plan their futures with personalized financial planning. David puts himself in his client's shoes and recommends products and services he would choose for himself or his family. If you'd like to learn more about Holland Financial or to schedule a one-on-one consultation with David, simply call 671-PLAN. That's 671-PLAN. No cost or obligation. Or visit planstronger.com. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Patricia Aberdeen on the line with us. Her website, patriciaaberdeen.com, A-B-U-R-D-E-N-E.com. The book, Conscious Money, Living, Creating, and Investing with Your Values for a Sustainable New Prosperity. And I want to put the wheels on the pavement, if we can, Patricia, kind of, you know, want to implement the strategies or the things we've talked about. And, you know, you've imparted this wisdom and, you know, a better understanding, especially for me. I was thinking more narrowly. So thank you for broadening my world to, you know, to think about how we shop, invest, but also where we contribute our money for charity and just that more holistic approach. So how do we go about really, you know, like I said, put the wheels on the pavement? How do we make this? How do we actualize this?
Well, will you indulge me to go back to just briefly one little piece
sure.
of the philosophy?
Sure.
And then we'll get the wheels on the road.
All right.
And that is basically what I'm really advocating for people is to put their head and their heart into alignment, to get over this separation that we talked about earlier in the program. And why is that good? Well, when you can balance your head and your heart, it actually positions you to make better financial decisions because then your emotions are calm. You're not waking up in the middle of the night saying, why did I put my money in, you name it, Tesla, Google, Procter & Gamble, you know, whatever it is. Your mind is settled. You've thought it through. I have made substantial investments in Intel, for example, substantial for a small guy. That's a real joke on Wall Street. And now they don't like it anymore. So what am I going to do? Am I going to get scared and sell? I'm not, because that's a company that has great cash flow. I've done my research. I've settled my mind. I know it's a terrific company, famous for its pioneering steps in the environment. I know that they have some hard times here, but I have faith in the leadership of the company. They're not a bunch of arrogant CEOs. They're smart guys, arrogant executives. They're smart guys. They're humbled by some of the problems they've had. And so I have faith in it. So, and I want that dividend, damn it. And I'm not going to go by follow Wall Street. I've thought this through. My heart and my head are in alignment about Intel. And that gives me the strength to steady the course and say, you know what? They're going to come back, and, you know, they may not go up to the highs that they were before, but they're going to come back. This has all been overdone. I know how Wall Street operates.
Yeah.
Buy, 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 sell, 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 all this drama. So that's the importance of integrating the values and the sound practices. So getting back to wheels on the road, mm-hmm. we talked about you have to know yourself. You have to do business with good companies. And then part three, very important, you got to integrate that wisdom into your three primary economic roles. Today we're going to focus on shopper, earner, investor rather than contributor, but that's important too. So should we talk about shopping a little
sure.
bit?
Sure, we got a couple minutes. Let's pick one and kind of dig into it. Shopping's good because I was thinking more of the investing. So let's talk about being responsible with how we shop.
Well, anybody will tell you that, that mindful shopping, being thoughtful, considering your shopping, is as important as your investments. Anybody who's in debt can tell you that. Mm-hmm. And probably with your listeners, they have an investment account. They know how important this is. But maybe they're noticing that their kids are just spending like crazy. And so a mindful person says, do I really need this? Is there another way to get it? Can I get it vintage? Can I barter it? Or am I, this is the deep inner work part, am I buying this just as a substitute? Am I spending money as a substitute for the deeper fulfillment I really want? Maybe I want to spend more time with my family.
Right.
And I need to create new work arrangements so that I'm not just, I don't have all this money, don't have maybe as much money, but I have more satisfaction. So I don't have to buy stupid stuff, and I don't have to buy stupid stuff for my kids, which would be the grandchildren of your listeners, who they go visit them, and they can't even walk through the living room because it's covered with cheap plastic toys, and it's a new toy all the time.
Yeah.
So how we spend our money is very, very important. It's a big part of conscious investing. So again, just like we do with our investing, we think about these things. We go, am I on automatic here? And we review our top values. And so I talked about earlier how your values might be transcendental or spiritual, but they're also practical. So as a consumer, you probably want to look at stuff like durability,
sure,
simplicity, reliability, frugality. Very, very important. And of course, the sustainability megatrend is enormously influencing how we the kind of cars that we buy. Do I want to buy a big gas guzzler that's polluting the environment? Do I want something a little more modest?
Well, I'll tell you what, Patricia.
A flat screen TV that will cover the entire wall of my living room and then want an even bigger one. I mean, really, do we want this stuff?
Good question. Well, I'll tell you what, we'll have to have you back to talk about it again. Patricia Aberdeen, ladies and gentlemen. PatriciaAberdeen.com, A-B-U-R-D-E-N-E, and the book, Conscious Money, Living, Creating, and Investing with Your Values for a Sustainable New Prosperity. Patricia, thanks so much for being with us.
David, it has been a complete pleasure.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.